Precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome those who join with us from home via YouTube. You too, may you know the Lord's blessings over this day and in the coming days. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you this morning that in these moments together, we can come and give thanks to you for our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the incarnation, that God the Son became a man. Lord, we thank you that he was born to die. And we're thankful today that we have one sat at your right hand, whoever lives to intercede for his people. Grant us believing hearts. Grant us the gift of faith, that we too may trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who to know is life everlasting. May Christmas become a reality in our hearts and in our homes. And we give you thanks for him who loved us and gave his life as a ransom for many. And we pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. O come, all ye faithful. Let's stand as we sing this lovely carol together. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. He was called Jesus. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Gracious and eternal Father, we come to you in these moments, and we say thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work here on earth is done. We thank you for your gracious provision of a Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We recognize it's all of your love and grace and mercy. We deserve nothing from you. And yet, in your grace, and because of the extent of your love for us, and because you are a God who is rich in mercy, you have made a provision for sinners and rebels like us to know that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and we may go in. Thank you for Calvary's cross, for it's there we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. We thank you that he was born to die. We thank you that he was willing to come into this sin-stricken world, and he was willing to die in our place, bearing our sin, and who rose again in glorious triumph. We thank you for your promise, Heavenly Father, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but shall have and know and experience eternal life. Help us now, in these moments, from our hearts, to cry to you for salvation. Bring salvation to our hearts and homes this day, And we will be very, very quick to give you all the praise, all the honour, and all the glory. Have mercy upon us. Thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Joy to the world. I'm sure you know it. Let's stand as we continue to worship the Lord together. Joy to the world. Amen. Now, the best part of being a bampy is that you don't have those awful early mornings. Wow! What was, if you've got young children, what time were you up this morning, dare I ask? Yes, Ellie. Five. Five. It's just bringing back terrible memories. Five. Samson, you can't better that, can you?
I've got two.
Oh, you got two?
Because I went to sleep, then I woke up, then I went to sleep.
Oh.
So then I went to sleep at 8 because I was so excited.
Okay.
I woke up just after midnight.
Right.
And then I fell asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, then I woke up at
5. Oh. So you are in the five camp. Thank God for sleep in between. Imagine that. Imagine. By five tonight, you'll be shattered. We can't. You can't better five, can you? No. Oh, seven. No. Now, that's good parenting, isn't it? That's, we are doing parenting courses in January. That's amazing. 7 o'clock. That is respectable. I mean, even I was up at seven. You know, excited.
Once I woke up at 10 to 10.
What, in the morning?
No, not this morning.
Oh, once. At night?
No, in the morning.
Oh, right. You got to lie in. Wow. Like the survey, Gareth.
At 1:40, then 2:15, then 3.
And the winner is... See, it's just... The best thing about being a Bampi is we haven't got any of those stories to tell. Seven. And another Bampi's nodding. What time were you up, Paul? Half. See, that is... 7 o'clock, 7:30. Lovely. Piece of toast. And then you remember, as you get older, you suddenly forget. You're there just enjoying your breakfast. And then you suddenly, oh, it's Christmas Day. Better say Happy Christmas to my wife. Where's my wife? Well, she was here and I went to bed. And you go looking for each other. But the wonders. Now, have you had, if you're up at 5, you've had time to open presents. Have you opened anything, Caitlin? No way. You had to wake your children. Wake up! We'll be late for church. Oh, by the way, Happy Christmas. That's amazing. Has anyone had a chance to open a present yet? Yes, Lois? A Barbie. They're all the rage, aren't they? A Barbie. Claudia? A unicorn. Oh my goodness. Caleb?
Some video games.
Is that what you wanted? Even better. It's great when you get what you want, isn't it? When I was a child, I used to get stuff I never wanted. And I had to look pleased. Just what I wanted. Not really. What have you had?
I got a box of football cards.
Now, they're great, aren't they? A box of football cards, because they're all the rage. And if you accumulate them, you go to school and you can do swapsies, can't you? Because no one wants too many of one player, do they? Great. Anyway, what about adults? Has an adult opened a present this morning? Or are you like me, boring? Oh, Mark has. What? Does it surprise me? Yes, go on, Mark. So, are you speaking in English? What's his language? My goodness. Say it again. Oh, yes. An angle grinder. It's, God bless you. There we go. Sarah.
I have some coffee and a blanket.
Oh, that's very nice, isn't it? Some coffee and a blanket. You can settle down to a nice film. Yeah. Another adult has opened anything up? See? Doris. Oh, isn't that lovely? I had an electronic Christmas card come through this morning. Okay, and it started away in a manger, and this robin flew in. I thought, here goes. But actually, it was quite nice. Selection of carols, some of the ones that we sang yesterday. Lovely, great. Well, yeah, go on then. What have you had a chance to open something? No way. Oh, you're in Gareth's camp. 2 a.m. Honestly, there we are. I still think you're the winner. 1:30. Well, look, we're all excited. Oh, have I missed Ella? What have you got, Ella? Headphones.
Earmuffs.
Let's have a look then. There's it. Thank you. Oh, I won't break them. Isn't that lovely? And that's your colour, isn't it? That's lovely. Wonderful. Well, we're all excited, but can you imagine life without the reality and the hope of Christmas? I don't know if you ever thought about that. Imagine life without the reality and the hope of Christmas. And through this Advent season, we've been considering some of the names and titles that are attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see them here on the banners in the chapel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Prince of Peace. People are longing for peace. Not just in this world, but But they want peace in their hearts. And it's possible through the birth of Jesus Christ and through his life, death, and resurrection, we can know the peace of God that passeth all our understanding. Mighty God, that Jesus is God in flesh, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Everlasting Father, that he is eternal. And he cares for those who believe in him as a father cares for his children. He is, we saw last night that he is King of Kings, that he was born as a king. Many children through history have become kings, but there's only one in history that a king became a baby. And that is the Lord Jesus. Lamb of God, we saw that he is God's sacrifice. That the reason Jesus came, the reason he was born, in order that he could become an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so our only hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he alone is able to forgive you and to forgive me of all our sins. And he, of course, he is Son of God. Son of the living God. And Peter on one occasion said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we know that he is indeed a wonderful counselor. He is someone who's so wise that he's able to counsel us and to guide us and to help us in a way, and this is what the word wonderful means, in a way that is beyond our real understanding. Now, the last name and title that we're considering this morning is behind me. Can you see it? Read it out with me. One, two, three. Jesus. And again?
Jesus Christ.
Now, Jesus literally means Jehovah saves or God saves. Christ literally means anointed one or, if we're coming back to the Hebrew, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, Messiah, but Jesus Christ. So we have the promised one, the anointed one, the Messiah, who is going to bring hope, not just to Israel, but will bring hope to the nations. And it's a reminder that God saves through Jesus Christ alone. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 1. There's a little phrase here that grabbed my attention, which fits in well with our series. And it's verse 18. It says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. That when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of God was at work in Mary's womb. That which is conceived in you is the work of the Holy Spirit, says God. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He didn't want to publicly shame Mary. Why? Because he loved Mary. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Now, many people, sadly, either don't understand the significance of Jesus Christ, and so they abuse him and his name. I remember when I left school, I was 16, and I started work for an engineering firm in Tetbury in Gloucestershire. And I was 16, I was surrounded by mature men. We might say they were men of the world. And I was subjected to foul and what we might describe as industrial language. Now, I've been raised in a Christian home. I've been going to church and to Sunday school and to youth groups until I was 16 and kept going. I wasn't used to be, even in school, I went to a grammar school in Stroud and was never really subjected to this level of language. It was terrible. And I suddenly realised that they didn't really know what they were saying. And particularly in frustration or anger, they would often say, Jesus Christ. And that is blasphemy. It's a special name because it's a name that belongs to the only Saviour of the world. And maybe this morning that you could be sat at home sipping your cappuccino, but maybe at some point in our lives we have been guilty of misusing the name of the Lord Jesus. And so I pray that in these few moments, when we grasp the depth and the significance of not just the name he bears, but the person he is and what he has accomplished on behalf of sinners, I pray that by the Spirit of God, he will shine a fresh spotlight so that we understand. And also, I pray that when we think of the name Jesus Christ, that we might even be convicted. We might even be challenged in our own hearts, thinking, actually, even as a Christian, I may not use it in a form of a swear word, but sometimes I might be casual in the way I use the name that is given to Jesus. Shortly after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. And as they approached the temple court, they went through this beautiful gate. Have a guess, kids, what the name of that beautiful gate was. Any ideas? Any ideas? Have a guess. You never know. You might strike oil. Yes. It's a beautiful gate. I mean, it is beautiful. Any inkling what they could have called it? Beautiful. It was called the Gate Beautiful. And there was a man there who was unable to walk. He was lame. And he was there collecting gifts. Not Christmas gifts. But he was looking for coins. Any odd coins. Loose change. We don't tend to have so much loose change about us now, do we? Because we're contactless. But do you remember the days of loose change? When I was training for the ministry, my tutor, Basil Howlett, used to say, before you go into the pulpit, empty your pockets. I said, why? He said, because I know what happened. You'll have keys in one pocket, and as you're preaching, you'll be jangling with your keys. Or there'll be loose change in the other, and you don't know what he said, but you do things with your hands. And you'll be playing with those keys. So empty your pockets. So that's why I never have keys or coins. They're distracting, aren't they? But this man, this lame man, was just wanting some gifts. Just wanted a little bit of money to go and buy a sandwich. And that was his meal. He was poor. He was in need. Jesus had now ascended to heaven. Jesus Christ is in heaven today. He don't view Jesus as a little baby. He started his earthly life as a baby, but he's always existed. He's eternal. But Jesus Christ, who grew up and went to a cross and he died for our sins and rose again and ascended, Jesus Christ is alive today. And Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But Peter and John, Peter looking with compassion at this lame man, in need, poor as he was, looking for a gift. And he said, listen, I'm really sorry. I haven't got any loose change. But what I have got, I can give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, isn't it interesting? Jesus had been born. He lived perfect life without sin. He died. He was buried. He rose again. Ascended into heaven. And is alive forevermore. And yet, even today, there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. God's anointed one and God's only avenue, his only means of salvation. In Acts 4, it tells us this, that there is salvation, Acts 4 verse 12, in no one else. So if you're looking to put things right with God, salvation is found in no one else. If you're looking to put things right with other people, then you need to put things right with God first, so that he can, in the name of Jesus Christ, empower you to put things right with others. Do you see that Jesus Christ bears a name that is not only relevant, but it's powerful and significant and important for you and for me? We're not just here singing these little carols and these Christmas songs and thinking, oh, it makes you feel all nice and gooey inside. And I know some churches have carols by candlelight and all these things. And, oh, the baby was born and it's wonderful. Friends, he is real today. He was born for you. He was born for me. He was born for us. That this God-man, this young child with two natures, human nature, fully man, divine nature, fully God, bears the name that reminds us of who he really is. He's God's anointed one, his promised one, who has come to save. Now here's the question before we finish. Can you say this morning, this Jesus Christ has saved me? Now, don't shout out. You need to answer that. Can you say, I know on account of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, I know today that he has saved me? You see, salvation is found in no one else. So good works will never save you. No merit of your own can purchase your salvation or for your sin atone. But if you trust the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore sin's penalty, he'll, Jesus Christ, grant you his salvation for all eternity. The name. There's something about his name. It's a reminder to me that God's anointed one, God's promised one, came to save me. The reason he was born was to save me. And he was born to save you. And whoever believes, whoever trusts in him, will not perish. But before you ever think about crying to God in the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, before you'll ever do that, you need to understand that you need him. You need to understand that the Bible tells us that we are all in need of him and his salvation. Why? Because for all have sinned. For all have rebelled against God and his glorious righteous standards. You see, by nature, we are rebels. By nature, we're sinful. Sin is rebellion towards God's Son and towards God's Word and towards God's plans and purposes. It's in rebellion towards God. That's what sin is. And very naturally, we don't want this king to reign over us. Very naturally, we want to be king of our own lives. We want to be in charge of our own destiny. Friends, that's folly. That's faulty thinking. You are being convinced by the fake news that came from Satan. You see, people think fake news is something of a recent thing. Fake news was in the garden. The author of fake news is Satan. He wants to see your life ruined. He wants to see you press very naturally every day of your life that self-destruct button because you think and you believe in a false truth that you can be in charge and you are the king of your destiny. No, you're not. There is only one king. His name is Jesus Christ. There is only one Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. There's only one means by which we can be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Back in Acts 4. Says this. That there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Did you see there? The imperative. We must be saved. Friends, if you're not saved, you go into a lost eternity. You'll go into a place of judgment. And the wrath of God will be poured out you forever. But on this Christmas morning, I can point you to one who is able to save, has power to save. And he delights in saving souls like you and me. And you think, well, I've never been confronted with this sort of message before. Well, praise God, you have today. Because, you know, you might at home have a little Christmas tree stuck in the corner of your living room, and there might even be a few presents underneath. But God didn't place his gift under a tree. He placed his gift on a tree. He was nailed to a tree so that he could indeed. He could then bear the judgment, the punishment, the penalty for our sin and rebellion. In our place, he was condemned. He was without sin. He was without fault. He was without error. But he died in our place. He became our substitute. He was the sacrificial Lamb of God. So that we can know God with us. That we can know God in us. That we can know his wise counsel to lead us and guide us through his word and by his spirit. That we can know his compassion as a father. And this will carry on not just through time but for eternity. That we can know peace. That we can rest our heads on our pillow tonight. Knowing that we have a cleansed conscience. Knowing that Jesus has reconciled us and reconnected us to God. Mighty God. And then we can start to see this world from his perspective. We can start seeing each other from his perspective. We can start really celebrating a biblical Christmas. Because a biblical Christmas is about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I ask you gently this morning, my earnest desire for each one of you and for your dear, dear families, is my earnest desire is that Jesus Christ will become everything to you and everything to your family. That you'll be able to say, wow, this really is the greatest gift we've ever received. God, by his grace, he extends his Son and the gift of his Son to you today. How might you respond? Well, seek the Lord. Seek Jesus Christ whilst he may be found. Call upon him for salvation. Turn from your sin and rebellion. Turn from it. Understand the seriousness of our fallen nature. Turn from your sin and reach out by faith and embrace the Saviour. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord. He is God's anointed one. He is God's promised one. He is God's only means of salvation. Jesus Christ. Your hope, my hope, and the hope of the nations. Let's pray for a moment. Eternal Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now to trust him. Help us now to cry to him. Perhaps we've never even considered these things before. In your mercy, Lord, enable us now from our hearts to cry to you. As we come to you, we pray for forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, may we know today, by trusting in him, the ability to rise from our places and to walk a new walk, to live a new life, because we have met and found the living Saviour. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. We pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Hark the herald. Angels sing. Let's stand as we conclude our service this morning. pray, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.